Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Liz Ripley, and she's with the Iowa Learning Farms. Good morning to you, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, we're going to talk about a workshop happening next Tuesday in detail, but before we do that, I want to learn more about the Learning Farms.
Yes. So Iowa Learning Farms is an organization based on campus at Iowa State University. We were established in 2004, and our goal is to build a culture of conservation, working with farmers and landowners, alongside our faculty, researchers, our agency partners, and other folks interested in improving soil and water quality here in Iowa while helping our producers remain profitable.
Okay, so you're based at Iowa State, so you work with Extension, I'm sure, but you have a lot of other partners?
We do. All of our outreach is made possible thanks to our ongoing partnerships. Like you mentioned, Iowa State University Extension and Outreach, the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship, our Iowa Natural Resources Conservation Service, the Iowa DNR, Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture, the Iowa Water Center, Conservation Districts of Iowa, Practical Farmers of Iowa, the Iowa Nutrient Research Center, CROMARC, Iowa Corn, and many more who have helped continue our programming since 2004.
Well, we need to take a look at all those folks. The farmers need to take a look at all those folks. They're always partners in all kinds of agriculture and our lives in our agricultural area. So let's now talk about this workshop that's coming up next Tuesday.
Yes, so we are hosting a free workshop on Tuesday, February 15th from 10 a.m. to noon. Going to be held in the Wallace Learning Center, which is located at the Armstrong Research Farm, located just outside Lewis. So folks can learn more about that particular address, but also to RSVP for that free lunch we're offering by visiting our website, iowalearningfarms.org, or contacting me at 515-294-5429.
Okay, we'll remind folks of that here before we finish up. But I'm interested in this title. It's something kind of new to me. Perennial vegetation. How do you define that?
So in our case, we're defining perennial vegetation as any plants that'll be persistent on the landscape. So unlike our corn and soybeans or even cover crops that we're planting each and every year, perennial vegetation is something that takes a few years to establish, but then is pretty self-sustaining with a little bit of management help from us humans. So for various folks, they might have different species of those kinds of perennial plants, but typically we're encouraging a diverse mix of plants that will persist from year to year.
So as farmers look at the land they have, where might this go on a farm? Do we have to have acres and acres of it?
Absolutely not. So that's a great question. Prairie or perennial vegetation can pretty much be anywhere on the farm landscape. So whether that's utilizing it within the crop field is almost like diverse perennial vegetation terraces, or prairie strips is another program created here at Iowa State. Could be used as edge of field. So maybe they've got an existing filter or buffer strip and just adding a few more species to that to help create a more diverse mix. Or even taking a look at their yield monitors and identifying marginal or low profit areas that typically don't generate much yield and converting those to perennial vegetation so they're not putting out those inputs like the seed and the herbicides and the fertilizers for something they're not really able to harvest at all. So they can utilize this perennial vegetation out there for a variety of different things in addition to saving those input costs.
So talk a little more about how they might use it. Can this be used for grazing, for instance?
Absolutely. So with adequate fencing, these areas can be grazed by livestock. So if one caveat is if they are enrolled in, say, a federal cost share program, you just have to be in line with those cost share rules. But they can be grazed for livestock, you know, cows, goats, sheep, or even hay. So where that is material is harvested, baled, and brought into the livestock either for food or for bedding.
Okay, you mentioned several times the prairie. And as we look back in Iowa's history, that's where we started, correct?
Absolutely. It actually wasn't that long ago that Iowa was dominated by the prairie landscape along with wetlands and timber and our open water bodies. We have one of the most altered landscapes in the entire world as we utilized and turned over that prairie that generated some of the great soil that we're lucky to have here. We know that these native species do really well, and they can actually provide a lot of ecological benefits in addition to helping find profit. So if you're a hunter or or someone that's avid and outdoors, these areas provide a lot of great habitat for both wildlife and pollinators, and potentially even just for harvesting of wildflowers for personal or sale.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought of harvesting wildflowers for sale. But I think that's, for somebody, that could be a great additional kind of income, because folks are really interested in those and putting them into bouquets and so on. So it just opens up a whole lot of different opportunities. And, of course, when you're putting this in the title of finding profit, that's so important. Bottom line for farmers, the same as any business.
Absolutely. So, again, these areas are very well suited. Those marginal areas where you're not making any money, in most cases you're often losing money because it gets flooded out or just doesn't produce well. By seeding it to these areas, you can potentially utilize some of the existing cost share programs, but also the livestock aspect is really great. If you're a honey, you know, you get a honey hive or you're an apiary, they can provide some really great food sources for that as well.
And we need lots of help to feed those bees and other pollinators. So,
absolutely.
The perennial vegetation, that's one kind of plant or crop. But talk a little bit about cover crops. That's something that I hear more people talking about. How are they the same? How are they different?
Yeah, so cover crops are another conservation practice that can really help with improving water quality and retaining soil in the field itself. So unlike perennial vegetation, cover crops are what we consider an annual practice. They do need to be seeded every year. Typically, this is done either into a maturing corn and soybean field or even immediately right after harvest. And so then these cover crop species, some of them will do what we call winter kill, so it gets cold enough that they'll die off, and others will be able to go dormant and survive and come back in the spring and require spring termination. But they really help protect the soil and retain nutrients in the field during our typically brown months. So even up to 6 to 9 months out of the year, you know, we don't really have a whole lot growing out of there. So these provide an opportunity to really keep the soil and the nutrients in place.
Okay, so some of each of those might be good in the farm planting. Liz, I want to talk a little bit about you, because it says that you are the Iowa Learning Farms Conservation and Cover Crop Outreach Specialist. So, you know, what interest led you to this? How did you get to this point?
Yeah, so I had the privilege of growing up on a farm here in Iowa and just absolutely fell in love with agriculture. And my parents are strong conservationists, as they still operate the farm today. And when I came to Iowa State to pursue a degree in agriculture, I had the opportunity to intern with this group and get exposed to this program and the opportunity to meet folks and talk about conservation and even do some research into some of these practices as well. I was able to then come on full-time once I'd completed my schooling, and I'm really excited to be here to promote these practices and host events like this one next Tuesday.
Let's talk a little bit. I want to go back to the program part, the workshop, because you're going to be there, but there are a couple of other people who are going to be on the program.
Yes, so I'm going to be facilitating the discussion, but the experts that are going to be on hand to answer questions about perennial vegetation include Matt Woods. He's with the ISU Department of Agronomy, and he oversees a couple different research sites where they are utilizing perennial vegetation alongside some row crops. And then for a livestock person, we have Dr. David Bruni joining us. He's the ISU Beef Farm Manager, and so he's been utilizing some perennial vegetation within the beef farm as well, so he can answer questions specifically regarding livestock utilization of these perennial vegetation.
Okay, so let's remind folks how, where, when, and how to register for the Finding Profit in Perennial Vegetation Workshop.
Yeah, so this workshop is going to be happening next Tuesday, so it's Tuesday, February 15th from 10 a.m. to noon. It's going to be in the Wallace Learning Center, which is located at the Armstrong Memorial Research Farm. It's at 53265 Hitchcock Avenue, just outside Lewis. And folks can find that address and more information about the workshop by visiting our website, and that's www.iowalearningfarms.org. I also ask that folks RSVP to help me make sure that I have enough free lunches available, and folks can do so by giving me a call at 515-294-5429.
Thank you very much, Liz Ripley, for visiting with us today. And until next time, here's a thought from Aldo Leopold. We abuse land because we regard it as a commodity belonging to us. When we see land as a community to which we belong, we may begin to use it with love and respect.